You're listening to Around It About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. Now we're going to hear about the latest production at the Ensemble Theater of Chattanooga. Of all the plays Tennessee Williams wrote, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof was reportedly his favorite. The Ensemble Theater's production of the play opens this Friday at 7:30 p.m. WUTC's Richard Winham is speaking to the director, Gary Posey. Posey says it's a play about mendacity.
The play takes place in one evening on the plantation owned by the Pollitt family, which is Big Daddy and his wife Big Mama and their two sons, Cooper and Brick, all of whom can't bring themselves to be honest with each other. Big Daddy dotes on Brick, a broken former football player. He hopes to leave the huge plantation he owns when he dies. But as this scene makes clear, they don't trust each other.
I never lied to you, Big Daddy.
Did I ever to you?
No, sir.
Well, then there is at least two people that never lied to each other.
But we've never talked to each other.
We can now.
Big Daddy, there don't seem to be anything much to say.
Well, you say that you drink to kill your disgust with lying.
I had to give you a reason to get a drink.
Is liquor the only thing that will kill this disgust?
Now, yes.
Oh, but not once, huh?
Not when I was still young and believing. A drinking man, someone who wants to forget, he isn't still young and believing.
Believing what?
Believing.
Believing what?
Believing.
I don't know what the hell you mean by believing, and I don't think you know what you mean by believing. But if you still got sports in your blood, go back to sports announcing and...
Sit in a glass box watching games I can't play. Describing things I can't do while players do it. Sweating out their disgust and confusion in contests I'm not fit for. Drinking a Coke, half bourbon, so I can stand it? No, that's no goddamn good anymore. No help. Time just outran me, Big Daddy. Got there first.
I think you're passing the buck.
We have a family who the patriarch of the family, Big Daddy, has been sick.
This is Gary Posey. He's directing this version of Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which he said Tennessee Williams rewrote in the early 1970s.
And so they've all come, the whole family has come down, sort of family gathering, and at this family gathering, the first big lie is hatched, and that is that the report from the clinic is that Big Daddy is not sick, he just has a spastic colon, and everything is going to be fine. But unbeknownst to Big Daddy and Big Mama, his wife, Brick's brother Gooper and his wife May have discovered that the report was false. And so they have, on their own behalf, him being a lawyer in Memphis, set up a trusteeship to establish who will take over for this plantation, which is the, 28,000 acres of the richest land, this site of the Valley Nile, I think is what Big Daddy says constantly. So Maggie and Brick have come down as well. It's also Big Daddy's birthday. And so Maggie has pretty much come down to, lay their ground to say, we're here, we're part of the family, we want our cut. But Maggie is very smart in how she understands how society works. And Gooper and May are really materialistic and are all about proving their worth. And Maggie's playing a different game, and she's trying to get Brick to play along with her, but Brick is really not interested. And the night before the play happens, was out running on the track and broke his ankle jumping hurdles, which, I really think at least twice in the play, Brick tries to explain in a very not vague metaphor for his life what he was doing the night before. And it just, kind of goes in one ear and out the other with Maggie and also with Big Daddy and everybody. And so I really think that that's Brick trying to, it's a call for help. But so by the end of the play, Big Daddy finds out that he is indeed going to die. Then there's the struggle with who is going to take over. Obviously, the only way that Brick and Maggie think that they can have any kind of hand in the succession of the property is through a child, or at least Maggie thinks that. Mm-hmm. So she lies about being pregnant, or does she lie? I mean, I guess there's questions there. But she says she's pregnant, and Big Daddy believes her, and then you know, the play ends with her deciding that this is how she's going to do it.
Further complicating Maggie's plans, along with Brick's almost constant drinking, is the suggestion that he's gay and in love with his friend Skipper, with whom he played football and who recently committed suicide.
Brick, I used to think that you were stronger than me and I didn't want to be overpowered by you. But now, since you've taken a liquor, you know what? I guess it's bad, but now I'm stronger than you and I can love you more truly. Don't move that pillow. I'll move it right back if you do. Brick, I really have been to a doctor and I know what to do. And Brick, this is my time by the calendar to conceive.
Yes, I understand, Maggie. But how are you going to conceive a child by a man in love with his liquor?
By locking up his liquor and making him satisfy my desire before I unlock it.
Is that what you've done, Maggie?
Look and see. That cabinet's mighty empty compared to before.
Well, I'll be a son of a...
So tonight, we're going to make the lie true. And when that's done, I'll bring the liquor back here and we'll get drunk together. Here, tonight, in this place that death has come into. What do you say?
I don't say anything. I guess there's nothing to say.
Oh, you weak people. You weak, beautiful people who give up with such grace. What you want is someone to take hold of you. Gently. Gently with love, hand your life back to you like something gold you let go of. I do love you, Brick. I do.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was true?
I don't think he struggles with not wanting to be the golden boy anymore.
Easy. What's your take on the play, Gary?
I think it's Brick's story, it's Brick's struggle to relate to what he's feeling over Skipper's death. Whether or not he's gay, in my mind, is almost a moot point because you can't really define who you are until you discover what the meaning of who you are is. And so I feel like he denies being gay and he gets really upset when his dad brings it up or when Maggie brings it up. And I think that it's not that he's saying I'm not gay. He's just saying I'm not the gay that you think that I am. You know, I don't know if I'm gay. I don't know what I am, but I know I miss Skipper. And Skipper's death had a huge impact on me. And until I can come to terms with what that impact is, I'm going to have difficulty communicating or living or existing with the people in my life. You know, I think the relationship between Maggie and Brick is phenomenally complex. You know, it saddens me sometimes when not a lot of import is placed on that relationship and it becomes about, you know, this catty woman and this man who is so uninterested in that. You know, I think that there is interest, but there's just an impasse in communication. Same thing with Big Daddy. And I mean, there's one scene where, you know, Brick says, you know, I can't, every talk that we have, it just goes on in circles. It's painful. And Big Daddy's like, no, I'm trying to have this conversation. But no matter how much they try, even at the end of it, they're still like, I can't tell you the truth. You know, or the truth is really hurts too much for us to share that moment, and then it's just too late. And I think Maggie realizes that, and although she has ulterior motives in, you know, claiming her piece of the pie, as it were, I really do think that she's genuinely concerned about Brick and about Brick's well-being and state of mind. But there's only one way to make sure that he's okay, and that's if she's okay and they're okay. And so that kind of fuels this sort of relentless urge to make sure that Big Daddy leaves what he's going to leave to Brick and not to somebody else who's going to cut them out, essentially. So, yeah, my take on the play is it's a complex story about not being able to communicate. You know, they say the word mendacity and talk about lying and liars a lot. And I think that that's a very important thing. You know, in grad school, is probably the most important thing that I learned in my MFA training as a director was my advisor said, you can't always trust what the actor is saying in the story. It doesn't matter that the playwright wrote it. It doesn't mean that it's the truth. And so now, you know, it's like approaching every line as, well, is that a lie or is that the truth? You know, I mean, it gives you this sense of creating more depth to a story. And especially in this one where you don't know if who's telling the truth when. You know, you can certainly make choices and decisions, but, you know, that's kind of an interesting take on it. For me, it's about the lack of communication, the inability to communicate.
You could leave me, Maggie.
Don't want to and will not. Besides, if I did, you don't have a cent to pay for it but what you get from Big Daddy, and he's dying of cancer.
Big Mama just said he wasn't, that the report was okay.
That's what she thinks because she got the same story they gave Big Daddy and was just as taken in by it as he was, poor old things. But tonight they're going to tell her the truth about it. When Big Daddy goes to bed, they're going to tell her that he is dying of cancer. It's malignant and it's terminal.
Does Big Daddy know it?
Hell, do they ever know it? Nobody says you're dying. You have to fool them. They have to fool themselves.
Why?
Why? Because human beings dream of life everlasting. That's the reason. But most of them want it on earth and not in heaven. So this is Big Daddy's last birthday. And me and Goopa, they know it. Oh, they know it, all right. They got the first information from the Oxna Clinic. That's why they rushed down here with their no-neck monsters. Because, do you know something? Big Daddy has made no will. Big Daddy's never made out any will in his life, and so this campaign's afoot to impress him forcibly as possible with the fact that you drink and I've borne no children.
I think that that's part of what Brick's struggle is, too, is he realizes that there's a lot of people talking themselves into reality. And he, that's what he keeps hearing. I mean, it's so funny. Like, there's two very important moments that I didn't realize when I had done this production back in college. I did just miss them. But, you know, where it seems like Brick's about to open up, you know, one to Big Daddy and one to Maggie. And instead of being able to get the information out, they talk themselves into being the blame for Brick's problem. And it's just very frustrating.
And they go back to themselves.
God, yeah, I know. It's like, oh, it's clearly my fault. I did this. I am the reason you're this way. And I think so. Brick is like, there's just a struggle with the reality that he knows, feels, is experiencing, versus the reality that everyone else keeps creating around him. And he can't find his way in both of those. Or the only way for him to find his way in that world is to be intoxicated, mm-hmm. is to have the click, you know, as he calls it, the moment where the bright light turns into the dark night or whatever it is, you know. And I think that is just your reality switching to their reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone around him they talk a lot, but they have nothing to say.
This is Jonathan Harris, the actor who plays Brick.
You know, they're not saying anything. They're not being real. So that's part of the mendacity, I think. Part of the lie is just we're lying every day when we're not being true to ourselves and we're not being real with each other and having like a real conversation where we're saying real things and talking about our feelings. And you're my father. I haven't seen you in a while. I know that you're dying. I have these struggles I want to talk about and share and let you know. And you're not talking to me. You're talking about back in Europe and it's just one big fire sale and Big Mama bought. You know, you're just talking about these things. This isn't what I want to talk about.
How much you have.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
You think the women are the stronger personalities in this play?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's stronger than Big Daddy as a personality.
I guess that's true.
He's dominant.
He's dominant. Yes,
but is he strong or is he just bellicose?
Yeah. I think, you know, Maggie, Big Mama, and Sister Woman, they're all very large personalities, and
that's true.
They're played that way, and they're meant to be that way. And while none of them will ever, even in the script, don't step on top of Big Daddy, there's still a sense of control that they have in the story. You know, I mean, Big Mama thinks she's going to be in control when Big Daddy is dying, and that's one of the problems. You know, so she did. We don't see it necessarily, but in the backstory, we learn that, you know, Big Mama was running things. And then, you know, Sister Woman is clearly on top of Gooper the entire show until the very end when finally Gooper has an explosion. And we clearly set up Tennessee Williams for us, sets up the whole first act with, you know, pretty much the, you know, the Maggie show. So it's Maggie and a little bit of Brick.
A dash just a little, of Brick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A splash. A splash. So, yeah, I think that they're very dominant personality. But then that would go along with, you know, Tennessee Williams' life, because his mother was a very dominant personality. So, you know, historically speaking, as I understand his history, so that would make a lot of sense. But I do feel like the women carry a lot of the story here.
Mm-hmm. I've been through the laboratory from A to Z. I had the exploratory operation, and nothing is wrong with me but a spastic colon. Made spastic, I guess, by disgust. By all the lies and liars that I've had to put up with, and all the hypocrisy that I've lived with all these 40 years that we've been living together. Hey, Ida, blow out the candles on the birthday cake. Purse up your lips and draw a deep breath and blow out the candles on the cake.
Oh, Big Daddy. Oh, Big Daddy.
What's the matter with you?
In all these years, you never believed that I loved you.
Huh?
And I did. I did so much. I did love you. I even loved your hate and your hardness, Big Daddy.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was true?
The Ensemble Theatre of Chattanooga's production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof opens this Friday, September 25th at 7:30. Details are on the website, ensembletheatreofchattanooga.com. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.